Welcome to podcast number 7.
Woo!
Hey. it's me, Kate, and Sam today. Becky's not very well again, so
get well soon.
Yeah, we hope you get better soon. Sam's actually not very well either, but
I'm
his is a man cold, so he's
not man cold. It's fine, please.
So hopefully he'll just be quiet tonight.
Oh, Sam! He can barely open his eyes. He's like, I'm dying.
I'm dying. Actually, this is where I'm gonna go.
Oh, it's a shame.
So, what have you all been up to this week?
Well, it was my birthday yesterday. So,
happy birthday!
Yeah, I've been celebrating. For quite a while now, actually. I've been focusing it out. I have seriously dragged this one out, but that's only because I've got, like, with friends coming back from uni and friends that have been I've known through work, and you know when you just get little pockets of friends.
I've sort of wanted to celebrate
separately and managed to just drag it out across.
It's been,
like,
actually been
the
2 weeks
of June
since we went out for your birthday. That was 2 weeks ago.
I know.
Birthday then, and then it wasn't until I checked Facebook and was like,
That's because they bought me a 21 Today badge. Yeah. And everyone was like, woo, happy birthday. And I was like,
you're supposed to milk it as much as you can when you go out on a night out, though.
Yeah, no, I know, that's true.
That's why you get people buying you drinks.
Yeah, but it's been nice. I've done a bit more family stuff, like, at the weekend, and they're not actually on my birthday. So, yeah, it's been good.
Yeah,
and as I'm a twin, I learned to share. So, I've never had a full birthday.
Did your sister have a good one?
Yeah, she did, yeah, absolutely. So, we try not to steal one another's thunder. It's like, oi, bitch, pipe down, give me a chance. So, we shared it very nicely. It's been good.
Does it help that she's in London?
Yeah, but she was back.
I wish it.
Yeah, like, it's the first birthday in a couple of years now that she's been back. So,
aww.
But we have to open presents, like, back to back, because still, like, family and friends, some people buy us the same present.
Really?
Yeah, like, in a different shade or something, different colour, slightly different styles. And she's always much quicker. I, like, take loads of time and in the ribbon. She's, like, got it out going, oh, my God, look at this. I'm like, sure, I haven't opened mine yet. It's quite difficult. I learned to live with it after 21 years.
I looked under my bed the other day and this big box, and I've still got, it's been 6 months since my birthday, but I've got ribbon, bows, bags, everything from my birthday,
it's great
wrapping paper.
And stuff like that that you can reuse. You
just have
to remember who gave it to you, though, because you don't want to, like...
Yeah. My little sister was like, only you could hoard that rubbish. I was like, thanks.
Oh, how old is she?
Like 13.
To be so, like, judgmental.
Yeah, she is. She's so, like, a Paris Hilton wannabe. She'll, oh, do you like my outfit? Oh, yeah, you look really nice, Charlotte. Like, yeah, that's nice. Yeah, I know, I'm so hot. And then she'll walk up and you're like, oh, okay. Cool.
She's got more confidence than me, and she's, like, hitting puberty right now. Yeah. She should be feeling shit about herself. That's good. She's cocky.
Me and Sam went to a party on Monday and we ended up in a caravan.
Oh, yeah, we did, didn't we?
A caravan.
Jesus, yeah, that was good. Wicked, actually.
And what was that horse that the photos of?
We went to
a gig. There's a place called The Assembly in our local town, and it's like the new up-and-coming venue for live music, and it's huge. And Lawrence Wren and Bowen design the interior, so it's really, like, swanky.
Chic, isn't
it? Yeah, it's cool, like, weird as well. It's amazing. Like, looking at the decoration, it's amazing. And they had, like, the backstage party downstairs, and it was had this big caravan. And who's the famous woman that...
Oh.
Someone told me it was Dolly Parton, but
no,
it's not Dolly Parton.
It is a country in Wessex. It's, like, Tammy Wynette or something like that.
Someone
Tammy
famous.
Wynette, I think.
And her caravan's in this basement, and it's amazing inside. I've got some photos on your camera, didn't I? And it's, like... beautiful pink and that art. Oh, so
they've just
amazing.
Got it sitting.
Just sitting there with
a
little picket fence around the outside.
Yeah.
And then they've got bumper cars, a riding horse, and I think Razorlight were in there when they played the Assembly.
And
the Kooks, and they've left signs on the toilets being like, Johnny was here and cute things like that.
Yeah, no, it's good crack.
But yeah, this rocking horse, not rocking horse, like electronic horse, put 20p
in. I think that's probably where they made the most money for that night. After
about an hour, after Harriet and Mike and everyone had had a go and got hilarious pictures, I was like, oh, have you got a 20p so I can have a go? I was like, have I? Yeah, I pulled out all these 20p's. It's like I changed all his money into 20p
so
we can
Mikey
all have
went
a go.
To the bar with like £5, was like, I want that in 20p's.
Oh,
it
was so funny.
Was it like just a slow thing? Or
no.
Go
well,
fast?
I think it was supposed to be, but it was like,
so old.
Vigorous, so it's throwing us around.
They'll, like, bolt you forward and then pull you back.
Yeah.
You're just, like, getting ripped off it.
And Mike got on the back when I was on it, and it was just the weirdest, like, most surreal thing. And then Dave got on it and it was hilarious. He just looked so funny. Aww. He was doing, like, you know when people do that stereotypical cowgirl thing when they do their arm above
like
their head?
Like a lasso thing.
Yeah. And just that drunk, being thrown around on a really old horse.
I really want to go on one of those cows, you know, like the bucking...
Oh,
like a bucking bronco.
Bucking bronco, all right. Yeah.
I went on one of those at a friend's party.
Are they difficult to keep it,
they're
on?
Surprisingly difficult, because yeah. obviously all you have to hold on to is, like, rope that comes out of where its head should be.
Yeah.
And you hold on to this rope, and they're like, right, hold on to it, and then you've got to have your other... You can hold on with two arms, but obviously, showing off, you can
have the
swing
other one
in the air. So at first, you're like, yeah, this is really easy, like, swinging your arm around. And then as it gets faster, you're like, oh, God. So you're, like, gripping onto it. And it ended with me, like, holding the cow around the waist. It's like, oh, God. And then getting held off.
How quick... Does it get, like, faster, or does it just go higher when it kind of bucks?
Because it's controlled by the guy who runs it. Like, so it's like a dial. So it can start off really slow, and it kind of rocks up and down,
yeah.
like a wavy motion, then spins around at the same time.
I wonder how much they are to hire one of those for, like, a party.
Probably not much in the grand scheme of things. It'd be good crap.
Yeah, it would. Oh, I love it. Good times.
Gig was good as well.
Yeah, the gigs and bands were great.
Don't you think that venue, it's a great venue, but it's quite big. And last time I went, there weren't that many people there, so it looked a bit
like... that many people there. Actually, there was a lot of people there, but there still didn't
it's
look very...
It's a Monday night,
it didn't look
it?
Very busy, so, though, because yeah. it was so big.
That's the only problem with it. With big venues, if you don't have enough people in them,
exactly,
they always
they look a little
even
bit.
More dead than yeah. they actually are.
Exactly. I think that's how it was when I went last time. But I didn't go on Monday, because I thought, Monday night, I just kind of not in the mood, but...
The atmosphere was definitely better at the bar because it was such a smaller room and everyone was having banter where the room was so big there was no atmosphere really.
You feel like you're standing there waiting.
It was really good. Like, it was a nice group of people because it was like old and new kind of, well, mainly like the old kind of group who used to hang out and stuff like that.
There was no drama.
Yeah, it was just like, okay.
Not a fan of drama, are you?
No. So fashion this week. Just basically, me and Kate are really, really into the sales that are happening because we've managed to get some really, really good things. A couple of I've seen on Boohoo.com. Their sale is 198 pages.
This is the sorry to interrupt. This is the point where Sam gets his phone out and
this
he's
is
like
Texas electronic diary to see what he's up to the next couple of months.
This is when I just play on games.
It's like this is the point where I can't get involved, so I'm gonna just do something different.
They had 198 pages of bags, watches, shoes, dresses, and not even just shit dresses. They were actually like nice satin, lovely like ball dresses for £10. These dresses were.
It's on Boohoo.com.
Yeah, Boohoo.
Do they charge a lot for delivery?
I didn't buy anything. So
they're quite a local company, aren't they?
Are they?
I might be totally wrong, but I'm pretty sure one of my sister's friends modelled for them.
Oh, God, she did, because I saw that in a magazine.
Is she the one from
Stratford?
The blonde
No,
girl.
She lives in Warwick, right opposite. Oh, I shouldn't probably say her address in case you're But yeah, she does. She lives in Warwick, and sure she modelled for them.
Oh, yeah, okay. She did. I remember seeing that. They've got, like loads of ruffles, or, like, really bright orange satin dresses.
Oh, cute.
Lace leggings for £5. Just loads and loads of stuff for like a ten, and the most priced thing was £15, I think. So that was really good. Mm. And they also had you remember clogs? I think we talked about them in the first podcast. Yeah. They've got those for £10.50, but they've got like a little heel on them. They're like adult clogs. They're so cute. Oh, I didn't buy them though.
My mum bought some clogs the other day.
Did she?
Yeah, they've got little spots on them. They're quite
cute.
They're
not comfortable.
She just wears them for the garden.
The ones outside just then? Yeah, I saw them.
Yeah, she thinks she's really cool with them. But to be fair, anything was an improvement on the last pair of like gardening shoes she had. So she just feels a bit embarrassed going out in the old ones. So yeah. They're in the sale as well, but they were from Kath Kitson.
Ooh.
You know, the make that's all kind of like looks like vintagey materials and stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
And Asda had some really, really cheap bikinis. The sets were £4 and they had some really, really nice colours. I saw that the other day. And New Look have got a really good sale, but not online actually. It's more in store. You have to really rummage. But I got some really nice dresses for £9 each, which were like vintagey looking dresses.
I went into the sale in Miss Selfridge in Birmingham. And it was like a jumble sale. You couldn't even tell that there was any manager in the shop or anything. It was just like, it was carnage in there. It was like horrible. And half of the stuff that you pulled off the rails had been torn or had zips hanging off them. It was really bad. It was like, I don't know, it was just horrible. It wasn't a pleasure looking through it. Whereas I went into Selfridges and all their apartments were really nice.
Was it a good sale in Selfridges?
Yeah, I got a really cute like tulip skirt from Oasis. It's red with like black like elastic waistband.
Oasis really shop cute. Or the market?
Oasis the shop.
Yeah. The market's moving, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah.
But that was really cute. That was like, that was £20, but it was quite a good reduction on it because I think it was like 48 or something.
Yeah, the Oasis, so when they have a sale, they have a really good sale. Like, I've had a lot of my dresses, my posh dresses from there have been in the sale, and
yeah, they do quite good
really
markdowns,
don't they? Lots of price off.
Yeah.
Oh, and Urban Outfitters had a really good sale. I went on last night, and there's this little, it's called Betsy Ditsy Make, and it was a little makeup bag, and it was in pink gingham, and it's $14.99 down from $24, and I was like, oh, it's so cute, I want to buy it. But then I think I just got really frustrated online, so I went off. Went back on today, and it has been reduced to $4.99 today.
Oh, my God.
And also this little watch on a necklace with a horse on it, like coming over
oh,
the,
I think I've seen
over the
that.
Top.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be very big, but that was £4 as well. Oh. So my two bargain buys today.
Oh. I've got a little bit of a rant again about eBay.
No way. Oh, yeah. Why did you keep going back?
Oh, God.
It was the only... I was getting so het up.
Yeah.
No, I don't think I understand it.
But not, we gathered just that
realizing
podcast
that
ago.
Right now.
No, but I understand the concept of it, but it's paying for something. I went to buy something the other day off it.
What didn't you understand?
Well, I was using my little sister's account because she's got one, and I was like, right, I'll just give you the money straight back, and like you can. She'd set up everything like PayPal. I don't understand this PayPal.
That's PayPal's like the middleman. He's between eBay and you.
I guess what I understand like the concept of it. But trying to set it up, because obviously she hadn't used it for so long, she had an old card on the system. So
that,
obviously
it does get a bit tricky when
you couldn't use that. But then it said you could use your bank account. So, and there was already something set up for the bank account, but then that wouldn't work because it was tied into this other card. So I set up her new card, but then you have to go through this whole rigmarole of going... They put like a pound in your bank account, don't they? Like PayPal put a pound in your bank account, and then you have to go into the bank, check your statement, and it will have a 4-digit code on like the company that says PayPal.
No way!
Yeah, and it will say like a 4-digit code. Do you then have to remember or write down that code?
Can't you check your online bank and it will come up?
Well, yeah, it probably will, but it says it takes 2 to 3 days to put this pound in or to show up on your thing. So then you have to go...
Well, this is just setting up a new card.
This is just setting up a new card, and you've got to link it with your account. So even if you set up PayPal, you then have to type this 4-digit code in, and then I'm assuming that's it. But because I didn't realise all this before, I bought this item, and then the guy started getting really leery with me, saying I hadn't paid within 48 hours, and this is unbelievable. This has never happened to him before. So I just had to say, could he take the listing off? And I'm really sorry for wasting his time.
What was it? What were you trying to buy?
It was just like, well, it was like these, this like memorabilia kind of stuff.
It's weird, isn't it? Like the way you go into too much detail about what it was.
What was it?
Oh God, what was it?
It was just like band memorabilia, like Led Zeppelin stuff that I really wanted.
Or it was like a really wrong porno film.
No, it was just like
PayPal, like you're sick, you're not allowed to buy it.
But I don't understand like why it's so hard.
No, my sister's boyfriend went on to French Connection website and wanted to buy her, or tried to buy her, this watch for her birthday, and it was all a big surprise. And he'd ordered it so that it would arrive actually yesterday on our birthday. And he was thinking, oh God, actually we're going out, so I need to call them to say, look, if we're not in, because it was like a courier service, don't just go deliver it at a neighbour's or something, or leave it somewhere kind of like... and not very obvious, and we'll pick it up. So he called them to say, like, is there any way you can get in touch with your courier to say this is what the score is? They're not going to be in. It hasn't arrived by 10 o'clock. And they were like, actually, the order hasn't gone through. The watch isn't on its way.
Oh.
And he was like, are you joking? This is a 21st birthday present. And this guy was like, no, because the address that you provided that you wanted it delivering to isn't the address that your card...
You normally have a billing address and a delivery address.
But you can nominate, you can say, is your billing address different to your, you know...
And then type in the actual delivery. Yeah.
And they were like, no, because it was different. It's been highlighted as like could be fraud. And he was like, well, why didn't you call me? This is 21st birthday present. Or get in touch. This is an absolute joke. And he was like, what's your name? And this guy was like, my name's Barry. And he was like, he started laughing. And he was like, and the bloke was like, don't laugh at me. And he was like, well, this is an absolute joke. You call this customer service. You haven't even apologised. So basically, he was like, look, get in touch when you know what's going to go on with this. And they just cancelled the transaction and sent him an email saying that he said, I want the manager to get in touch. And the manager got in touch saying, Barry tells me you want to cancel the transaction, so I've cancelled it.
No.
Didn't even apologise for the inconvenience. And I was like, well, I'd go and source it from somewhere else anyway,
yeah,
I think.
Definitely.
Absolutely disgusting. Like, because that's regular, isn't it, that you, where your card corresponds to. You might have left home at uni.
Exactly.
So it's crazy.
That's so stupid.
But for a company like French Connection, you wouldn't, and on quite a decent transaction,
exactly.
You'd check, wouldn't you? In this, like, climate, you wouldn't just pass up a sale like that. Absolute joke.
One other thing about this PayPal thing, I'm assuming you have a PayPal account.
Yeah, I do.
Because you eBay. What is it? Because it says, like, add funds or take funds away, but all I want to do is pay through my card.
Basically, for me, whenever I pay for something, like on Topshop or whatever, I use my PayPal. So, and it's linked to your bank, it's like the middleman.
Like, yeah, exactly.
So whenever, if you're... You can use PayPal for whatever. So with eBay, you have to make sure that the money's in your bank, don't you? So it'll go from your bank to PayPal and then PayPal to the buyer.
Yeah.
If you sell something, it will go in your PayPal but stay there, and you have to withdraw it from PayPal to
your
bank. And they charge you for that. They're like the middleman.
So pointless. I don't understand how it's safer than using... No, I understand, obviously, like, they haven't got your card details.
But I wouldn't go through that shithole of, like, going for getting a PIN number and all that bullshit.
Well, did you not have to do that, then?
No.
Does it not charge you more? You know when you want to move money, having sold a lot of goods and you say you've got 100 quid, if you had 200 quid, it would cost you more to transfer it to your account, would it? Mm. Do they take a higher percentage off the more you're moving?
Actually.
So how did I don't understand how you did it. How did you set up your card and not have to go through all this?
But I've had it years and years and years since
I've changed
my Hotmail, which is like 6 years or something.
But the only way I could think of is that I'm going to do some selling and wait until the money amounts to quite a large sum and then do the transfer to my account. But if it costs you more, the more money you have to transfer it,
I don't know what their fees are, actually.
Yeah.
I know that eBay and them swindle you for fees.
But it's a bit of a shame. Like, I've got a friend who's just set up a company where they sell stuff on your behalf. And part of me thinks, oh, that will do really well because people can't be bothered to sell stuff. But they take 30%. And by the time you've got your fees and stuff, I just think, who is actually...
You have to be so lazy
to be able to give someone 30% of something that you sell, don't you?
And unless it's going to be
a big... Is that 30% off the top of the fees, or is that 30% including
I think
fees?
That's after the fees, they'll take 30%. That's
they have their fees, and then eBay have their own fees.
Yeah. And my understanding is that, really, there's no point in doing it unless it's going to be something that's going to sell for quite a lot of money. There just couldn't be any point. But what they found is a lot of stuff has been selling from their shop before it's even hit eBay.
Oh.
They've put, like, a price on it, like a reserve price on it. People have been going into the shop and going, oh, yeah, I want that. So I suppose that's where they'll make money.
Yeah.
But it's, like, going to eat into their lives in terms of watching everything and... You know, keeping an eye on what
that's what
on.
I don't like I about it because I was obviously looking, there were loads of different items and they were obviously the same thing that I was going for, and then you're like, oh well, this one ends so like quite soon, so what I did was I like put a bid in, and then about an hour before, this guy outbid me, and so I outbid him, and then he outbid me again, and then I got to a certain price and he just dropped off the radar. And
well,
then I won it.
There's things called eBay snipers now, right? And you set up an account with the sniper websites. And what that does is you don't have to be online then.
Yeah.
You put in how much you're willing to bid. And this sniper goes in at the last 3 seconds and wins. But the thing is, so many people are using snipers.
It's the same.
It's not even guaranteed anymore. But it's so annoying if you're literally sat at your computer for an hour watching and then someone can snipe you at the last second.
Do you give them anything for doing that?
No, it's free. Well, some of them charge, but some of them
are
free.
What saddos would sit there and go, I'll bid on your behalf at God knows what time in the morning. That's a bit
crazy,
isn't it?
No, it'll be a computer.
Just be a computerized
automated
system.
Oh, so it's not like loads of little men, like, no. Sitting at computers.
It's a computerised service. That's weird. I wonder how... at the last second.
That's quite clever, isn't it?
Because obviously it's all to do with like refreshing, like, your internet connection. Yeah. So obviously if you hit refresh...
So they've got some software that, like...
They'll have, like, a really, really speedy. Fast server, and it'll be able to, like, see it real time and then jump in at the last second.
That's what I find, is my computer takes ages to refresh, so I can't tell if someone's bidding.
Anyway,
horrors of eBay.
More eBay.
It's traumatic, isn't it? So
beauty time. Kate's got some beauty things.
I do. Well, you said something about what top things.
What top three beauty products could we not all live without?
Yeah, and I'm not sure I could say I couldn't live without these. Because obviously there's much more to life than beauty. But no, these are things that, three things that I feel I use a lot. The first one is, it's from a company called Babor. And I think you can get it online, but I think they're American. It's an American company. So often they'd be shipped from abroad and it takes a while for them to come through. But I get them from SK, our local beauticians in Leamington Spa. And... they come as a set. It's like a cleansing set. So basically, it removes your makeup, and it's an oil. It's called Hyol, H-Y-O-L. And it's a cleansing oil that you rub into your hands, then you rub on your face, and you massage off the makeup. Oh. And it's really, really good. And you can sort of, like, just rub very gently your eyelashes, and all the mascara sort of flakes away. Because it's oily, you end up, and all your face is, like, black because the makeup's come off, depending on how much... the eyeshadow or whatever you're wearing. Then you use like another smaller bottle, which is also feels like it's less oily, but it's still like quite a wet substance, and that's blue. And you put that on over the top, and it almost like acts like a cleanser, and your face feels far less sticky when you've used that. And then you just use a hot flannel and take it all off.
Wow.
And it makes your skin feel so like fresh and supple, but it doesn't feel, because I feel like my face is stripped if I use the wipes and like makeup, some of the vicious makeup removers that like really feel like they sting and stuff when you take them off. So that's really nice. So but it comes as a set, so I thought I'd class that as one thing.
How much is that?
Babor Hyol, and it's quite expensive because each bottle costs something. I think the bigger bottle costs about £30, and then the other bottle costs probably £20. But then it lasts for months and months and months because you really only use like a few squirts. But I tend to buy it with my mum, so because like, obviously I still live at home at the moment, just keep it in the cupboard, and then we'll just split the cost every time. Yeah. So that it works out better doing it that way.
That's cool.
So yeah, that's cool.
Number two
is that sometimes during the day I find that like my T-zone gets a little bit oily. not oily, but shiny. I always get a really shiny nose. And... I went into House of Fraser and just said, oh, can you recommend anything? I was talking to the lady on the Lancome counter, and I've got this thing, which is called Pure Focus, and it's like a moisturising lotion for perfect long-lasting shine control. And it's like, comes out like a little green bottle, and you just put a little squirt of it, and you rub it into your, like, your nose, your chin, and your forehead, where your shiny bits are. And you put that on before you put any other moisturiser on or anything, before you put your makeup on, and you let it sink in, and then it's quite good.
Is that good?
When you rub it in, it almost makes your skin feel like a little bit powdery, which is good because then like your makeup's got something to cling to, and it just doesn't feel oily at all. So
how much was that?
Not sure how much this was. You have to go online and just have a snoop. But I think I bought this when I was feeling a bit extravagant and had some vouchers to spend. So probably it was around £20 or something.
What's your number three?
Number three is number seven, Protect and Perfect Beauty Serum, which I just love this stuff. It's really, really good. And I've heard loads of people saying how good it is. And it says on the back, reveal younger looking, beautifully refined skin with this powerful blend of protecting and renewing ingredients. Ooh. And there's been loads of stuff about this in the press saying that it actually does work. They've done tests on people to see whether it helps with your wrinkles and stuff.
Number seven is actually really good. After my experience with them charging me lots and lots of money for stuff, I do like a lot of their products. Like their moisturisers are really good, and they're the only makeup that I use. So they are. I like them. They're quite a good brand, if you like. With beauty products, I've been seeing a load and loads of beauty blogs online at the moment, And it's all these girls that do like YouTube and stuff. And they've got really pretty blogs, but they're all makeup bloggers. And I have no idea about half the stuff they're talking about. They've got palettes and palettes of brushes, makeup.
Are they trained? Like, are they makeup
artists? No, they're just basically normal girls that love their makeup, but they're all into like MAC and all like makeup. And I'm just so baffled about all the stuff that they use, because I literally have a foundation, a blusher and a concealer and eye makeup and no real beauty regime whatsoever. Like, I'm shocked that you've got all those little bits there, because I don't even use those things. How do you learn about
I don't know. I've got one of those relationships with my mum where, like, I've always, as a kid, like, been intrigued by watching her putting her makeup on, or at night taking makeup off, and like, and I love... I suffer from dry skin normally. I know that sounds weird that I've got like an oil-free moisturiser for shiny spots, but actually my skin gets really dry, whether that's like the winter when it's really cold and the wind makes your skin really chapped, or whether it's in the sun, you get too much, it dries your skin out. So I've always kind of like wanted to like look after your skin, and I think my nan's really good for her age, but she's always had just a sensible beauty regime, not over the top with loads of stuff, but just cleansing, toning and moisturising before you go to bed, taking makeup off properly and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I suppose it's just learning through other people, but if you don't have someone to ask, then I suppose you don't really, or unless you go and seek advice from people in
shops. If ever I've got a problem, I just run into a shop and I'll be like, help me, and then I'll end up
buying really helpful, but then also they can just say, buy this.
I was watching this girl's video and it was how she does her makeup. And she'd got this stuff called Prima. And it was like this face Prima that you put on your face to sort out after moisturising, but before foundation.
Keep your makeup on,
And,
it's how much time you have for that.
Totally baffles me. And then she did blusher, and then she did highlighter, and then she did powder to keep all on, and then she did concealer, and then she did a bit more blusher and then bronzer. And I was like, oh my God, where... What the hell?
Yeah.
What the hell kind of regime is that?
Ruin your skin.
Like, I would have thought wearing that many layers.
She looked beautiful afterwards, but man, oh man, I just.
Because surely, like, I always thought, like, having a younger sister, and when she started, like, wearing makeup and going out and stuff, and I'd just be sitting there and she'd be, like, putting it on as she was, like, walking around the house. And it's that, I think it's like foundation, what you put on first or whatever it is.
Depends, everyone's different.
Okay, well, that foundation stuff you kind of put
all
on.
All over your face.
All over your face. And she used to put it on, and it when it came out of like the, whatever, the bottle or something, it looked like really gloopy kind of stuff.
That's the thing though, I think when you're younger and you get into makeup, you probably plaster it on and don't really think about it. And I think as you get older, you actually think about, is this any good for my skin? Does it suit my skin? And then you ask advice and stuff.
Yeah.
And I think actually some of the foundations are quite gloopy and heavy, but I mean, now that it's so hot, you just sweat your makeup off anyway.
Well, it blocks all your pores. And then you get spotty, and then you end up putting more foundation on to cover up those spots. So it's like a horrific cycle.
It's so true. But I think actually, though, I mean, people say about, oh, yeah, makeup and spots, and I'm sure there is a link. But equally, I mean, you get that through hormones, through stress, through feeling low. And when you're ill, you can get them, can't you, when your immune system is shot.
I'm not saying that this girl's bad for putting all that makeup on. I don't have a problem with people that wear... Because it wasn't overly done makeup. My point is that I'm baffled at my understanding about all those different things. I didn't know
that. I had a makeup lesson when I was, like, 11. I'd gone to this hotel and they let you choose like a free beauty thing, and I didn't want to have a massage or anything. I was well embarrassed when I was like 11. I didn't want to get rubbed. And so I was like, oh, I have a makeup lesson. And I suppose they were really good about teaching you like where you put blusher on and stuff.
And
it didn't come out looking like a doll. They were all about how to put it on, make look nice, but not.
I've had the same reaction. When I first wore makeup, my friend Anne turned me into a goth when we were 14. That was the first ever time I wore it. And it was exactly the same eyeliner that I've got now, but it was like black eyeshadow and really pale foundation. And I've got the same regime now that I had when I was 14. So it's kind of learning new tricks, really, isn't it? Like when I came out at number 7 with two different brushes and two different concealers, I felt like
you've got to find a way that suits you, don't you?
Definitely.
Like, I don't spend loads of time in the morning putting makeup on before work.
I'd
take more time before I was going out, only because you want to feel nice, and also when you go out for an evening, you don't want to
That maybe like all these like Lancôme or what is it, number 7, that like come out with all these like, oh, you need to put this on after. Do you not think that maybe it's just like, right, if someone will buy it, then we'll probably just manufacture it?
Depends. The reason why I picked these, I mean, number seven, there's been so much stuff about this one being proved.
Yeah, no, I don't mean like
if
obvious
you
things.
Buy it and try it and it's good. There are people, though, that go out and they just buy everything.
Yeah, well, like this girl, like with. This Prina stuff, like whatever you say, or Prima, or
yeah, I don't
whatever
know
it was.
That
like,
I don't either.
Surely, like, you need, like, certain things, like, obviously, foundation. Like, you were saying, like,
basic
the kind of minimal
stuff.
Things, like,
yeah.
You definitely need to put makeup on. Why? Surely, if they just make all this other stuff to make all these girls who go out and like all these like sellers like, oh yeah, you definitely need this and it'll make your skin look like this, and a lot of it's just junk essentially.
I think I just find it fascinating that people do know so many things about it. There's so much to know, and I thought I knew quite a bit having just basic stuff.
One of the things
didn't.
That I didn't realise until I met a girl at work who was talking about the sun and damage and all that sort of stuff, and it's so true. When I look at friends who've got parents that love the sun, like especially mums that used to come back so brown, and I used to think, oh my god, your mum's amazing and brown. Actually, they look like little prunes now, they're all shriveled up. And she was talking about how important it is to moisturise and look after your skin,
that's
and
the one big
all
thing,
sort of stuff like that. And I think, although like Lancome and Clinique and all those ranges totally do the whole packaging thing and sell stuff for like 60 quid, which actually probably number seven sell for 20 or whatever. I do think it's overrated the amount of choice there is, but I think you should have a basic one that you use. I do think moisturiser is important.
I love watching the videos that they do, because I just find it really fascinating.
One of the things that I always notice, though, is obviously like kind of not so much to do with makeup, but yeah, still makeup as well, but it's a whole kind of like rejuvenation, like all these creams and stuff, especially now that they're bringing out, because obviously Botox is an option and these chemical peels that are really severe, but now they're obviously on the middle markets bringing out all this other stuff, like, oh, if you just rub this cream on, it kind of has the same effect. And it's like, they come out, coming from like a sciencey background, they come up with all these like, oh, like amino...
Pentapeptides, what the hell are they?
Well, when I was like studying at uni, obviously, I kind of worked from the ground up and what the body comprised of. And these, there's no actual scientific thing called pentapeptides. Like, the only thing that kind of comes close is peptides, which are actually, like, the building blocks of these amino acids that aren't so much on your skin, but are, like, in every cell that ever made, like, your DNA and stuff like that. And it's like, why do they think the rubbing a cream onto you is actually going to make any difference? And it's like, all those healthy, like, those like Yakult and stuff, they're all absolutely pointless. Because as soon as you... Obviously, you've got all that kind of bacteria in your stomach, but when you drink it, before it hits your stomach, this stuff goes through all these other like chemicals that destroy everything before it reaches your stomach.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, well, it doesn't help because it's destroyed before it reaches you, because it's obviously broken down to its most obvious components.
So two things that irritate Sam, like eBay
irritate
and
me.
Women's beauty adverts.
It just finds it hilarious because people obviously buy it, else they wouldn't try and sell it.
Maybe we'll do a new section on the podcast, Sam, Science Hour.
Hour?
Right,
last
Just quickly, my top three beauty products. Batiste Dry Shampoo, which I have raved about before, but I love it.
That the one that smells... Really
if you get
nice.
It smells a tropical rose or just normal. I don't like the tropical one. But I rarely wash my hair anymore because I just love spraying it on. It's disgusting, but it's true.
Doesn't it go like a powder when you spray it on?
It does. It goes on white, like a white powder. It makes you look grey, yeah. But then if you just keep brushing it through, it's perfect. It's really good.
Cool.
Liquid eyeliner, because I look ugly without it.
Don't say that, you joke.
And I've started using Barry M because my other one was rubbish and it's actually really, really nice.
Good.
And number seven foundation, because I'm ugly without that too.
Aww.
So I've got no beauty regime. I've got a moisturiser, but I'm not going to rave about it. So it's just literally basic eyeliner and foundation. What about you, Sam?
I literally, at the moment, my top three things to keep me alive are Lemsip and like pills to just keep me going.
Do you have a violin sound effect to add there?
Yeah.
Oh, what was that?
I'm sweating, I'm dying. Aww. I feel like death. But like beauty-wise, the only thing that I kind of... The only thing that I use every day, like, guaranteed, apart from, like, when I'm in shower and stuff, like, body wash, but it's pretty much whatever's there, is just, like, a bit of hair product, like, every so often days.
Yeah.
Like, not
what,
every day.
What do you use?
Well, trust me, I've been through, like, a million products. Just as you're growing up, you obviously try everything. But there was this stuff that I got from this hair salon in town. Like, yeah. It was pretty much on my... I bought it May the 13th, and it's this tiny little pot.
How did you
remember? Because it was on my birthday.
Did you put it into your diary?
No, it was on my birthday that I went and got my hair cut, and my friend gave me a discount for it, so I was like, wicked. And it's from this place called Geico in town, salon. And it's a tiny little pot. It's like L'Oreal stuff. I can't remember what it's called. It's like a little silver pot, tiny, absolutely tiny. And because I've never worked in a hairdresser's, I don't particularly like take much care of my hair anyway. I used to just kind of like grab quite a fair bit of it and whack it in my hair.
Yeah.
But my friend was actually who's like in the hair kind of business, was just telling me to use the most minute part of it and just rub it between your hands, get it really hot, and then put it in your hair.
Yeah, you find that you'll be washing your hair all the time if you put too much in anyway. And I think it makes it heavier and it doesn't make it.
Yeah, yeah. So now I just basically use like a tiny little bit, and it doesn't really kind of do anything to it. It's like,
it just gives it a bit of definition, doesn't
it? Yeah, just like kind of separates it up and makes my hair not look like a bowl. So yeah. To be fair, like, I used to use straighteners quite a lot, but now that my hair's a bit shorter, it's not enough to kind of hold on to it, and I just end up burning my fingers, so I've kind of put that to bed now as well.
I think in the sun as well, like, slight waves look cool. I think
So my first ever boyfriend was obsessed with his hair. He used to do like a side fringe all the time. He'd sit there and straighten his hair ages.
Were you like, can I straighten it for you?
No.
You love playing with hair, though. You're good at it as well.
Thanks. it'd sit there, straighten his hair, making it look really, really nice, hairspray it. Then he'd put a trendy cap on his head, and then hairspray around it to keep his cap on his head. That is mental. My mum was like, what are you doing? That is crazy.
How long were you with this guy for?
Not very long. But yeah, that was some extreme hair doing.
What
is
the point in that? Surely, like, straighten your hair if you want to go out and you want your hair to show.
Cap on top and then hairspray around it.
Is this back in the day when you were in the other mirror, like, hairspraying your eyebrows? I love that story.
No, that was recently. cool. So.
You're changing this.
Yeah, just. We were talking about how atrocious I look.
I love that.
So, serious topic time. Obviously recently Michael Jackson died, and it's very sad.
Yes.
For me, he was, when I was younger, me and my friend Gemma, who's actually today had a baby, so just say congratulations, Gemma.
Congrats. Yeah.
I can't talk.
We used to listen to him all the time. We'd dance around we had a little cul-de-sac, and we used to dance around, and I used to choreograph dances, and I've got a few photos of me at home. Hey, I can dance. I've got a few photos that I found recently, and
is that talent falling by the wayside now you've got older? Because I've seen you dancing smack quite a bit.
Gosh, words, Sam. Seriously,
I won best dancer of the year when I was in year six, you know.
Year six, so that's what I'm saying. Is it falling by the wayside now?
Who judged it?
My school. I got a trophy. Anyway. And there's a photo of us two, and I'm like teaching her some dance moves, because we used to do dance routines to Michael Jackson and like the Spice Girls and stuff. So for me, it was a legend. And actually, when I was in secondary school, I got a gold sticker for doing a project on him and Whitney Houston, because they were like my icons.
Aww.
So actually, it was quite sad, but in the press they really hyped it up and said that he had bags of pills next to him, and he did it on purpose.
It's a way
to
manipulate everything, isn't
definitely
it?
Like, and then also
but at
everything.
The end of the day, everyone knew that he was on drug medication anyway, like everyone knew this. So to say that they're bags of pills, it's like anyone dying. Obviously, when you're in bed, you probably have your pills on your dressing side table. I'm not saying that he did or he didn't do it, because I don't think anyone will ever actually know, but it's kind of like one thing kind of putting up towards him is kind of saying, well, anyone who falls asleep in bed normally probably has pills next to their bedside table.
I think like 2 hours after he died, and it was on the news, there were so many jokes, horrible, horrible jokes on Facebook and Twitter. And I think even Vernon Kay posted a Twitter saying, God, how long have people been thinking up these jokes? Because literally 10 minutes after it was announced, I got one through my phone. Like, I don't know why they can't just let him be dead. Like, I know that, you know, some of them have been quite clever.
But
like,
he's,
there
lived
was
his,
one about
he's lived his whole life. He's lived his whole life in the spotlight.
So
he's
taking the chance to win.
Surely out. It's going to be like, surely now he's dead, it's going to be even better. They do say the best marketing thing in the world is to die, don't they?
But that's what it's all about, though, isn't it? It's like, there's always going to be a story somewhere. They've absolutely used him for all he was worth. The media have just manipulated every
there's
story
no way
that
he
has
was
ever
gonna
been
go
about
away
him.
Quietly,
no, they were gonna use this.
You know that, have you heard about that celebrity blogger, Perez Hilton? He's from America.
God, really,
he's just really, really camp, over the top celebrity blogger. And he's got quite a famous website, and he recently got attacked by the Black Eyed Peas manager for calling the Black Eyed Peas a faggot when they had an argument at this party, and then Perez Hilton got in a bit of trouble and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, he's posted a tweet. He's got loads and loads of followers, and he's posted a tweet saying, rest in peace, Michael Jackson. Like, I feel like it's sad that you're gone or whatever. And someone posted an article about what this celebrity blogger said a couple of weeks ago when Michael Jackson was ill, and he was saying how he's faking it, he just doesn't want to go on tour, and we expected this because he just is too scared to perform. And apparently in 96 he did this once where he cancelled his show for a couple of months because he was too scared to perform, and it was a big, people were actually not even thinking Michael Jackson was really dead, they were thinking it was just a stunt to get out of the tour. And I just think that there's so many, I think to prove that he's dead, they're even putting his body in Neverland Ranch now for people to go and pay their respects to him. I think it's gone so overboard. Like, the press are going
crazy.
Crazy,
isn't it? Yeah. But it's there's so many, the newspapers and the news are just like full of all these stories about friends of his that said he was a complete hypochondriac, and that he you know, hired all these doctors to be around him, and he made 2 out of 45 rehearsals for this stuff because he was so doped up on drugs. He was just like, almost like comatose for the majority of the last few years of his life. And I don't know, but then everyone forgets some of the just crazy shit, like the fact he's been in the public eye since he was a kid. And
Five or four.
What does that do
well,
to
he
you?
He signed to Motown Records when him and, obviously him and the Jackson 5 were signed to Motown Records when they were like 6 or something.
Yeah, I mean, that is just immense. And then his dad supposedly abused him sort of emotionally. He was... And I don't think it was sexual abuse. I think it was more emotional, whatever. I just think, you know, it was obvious that Michael Jackson wasn't a normal person, but that was always inevitable, wasn't it? When he had such... And it's these, like, legends that they never live a normal life, do they, really?
I think being in the limelight since you were 5, that's got to do something to you. Because what I've... a lot... You know, he wasn't proved for doing that sexual abuse of the child. Mm-hmm. No one really knows what happened, but I didn't disagree with him when he said he likes hanging out with kids, he finds them more fun, because when you're
they don't judge you
5, yeah, when you're 5 in an adult world, I don't think you can grow up properly in the media all your life. I think that would make you feel so, like, not having a normal childhood would probably make when you're 40 go a little bit mental and want to be a child again, so you've got that childhood.
When
but
you're,
then it did
when you're
hang
in the public,
baby out of a window.
Yeah,
so.
But that's the thing. When you're in the public eye, you make mistakes, and everyone sees it.
Yeah,
and the media will take the chance. I know.
There's
I know
making a mistake,
that,
and then there's hanging your child out of a window.
He doesn't think like a normal person. He didn't clearly think like a normal person, did he? I mean, that was just, and the whole thing of, like, you could say, well, he drew attention to himself, like wearing the masks. Like, didn't he? He used to wear the mask that covered his mouth, and like, just the long hair and all the facial surgery, and saying,
"I'm not saying about people with long hair.
I've never,
they're
no,
just
no,
not normal."
No, but you know how it was so dyed, and he was then so pale, and he just always sort of made himself look ill. And
I actually had an argument with like my friend and his family the other day. We just went around for dinner, and then we were going out to have a few drinks, and we got on to, as you do, like, we got on to talking about Michael Jackson, and they were basically saying like he was obviously saying that he had a disease, that skin disease, that turned his skin bright white.
Yeah, because of the...
Yeah, like, it's something, like, really weird. And whether it exists... And they're basically saying that it is a real disease.
But it makes your skin very patchy. He's obviously... He's either had treatment or someone said he wore makeup. I can't believe it could have been that good.
No,
like,
so I was just... At the end of the day, I said, if there is a chance that he did have this disease where your skin, like, you get white patches, I mean, everyone
it's,
has it, like, everyone
patchy,
gets, like,
though, yeah.
But it's patchy, it's not bright white, it was like, it was like ivory, it was so glisteningly white, it couldn't have been normal.
He looked ill.
Yeah, well, he was.
Yeah, well, yeah, clearly.
Yeah, it's sad, it is sad, but I just think, look, loads of people were saying how sick he is and how he you know, they don't care that he's dead because he was a weirdo. But Roy made a good comment about, I think it was a Hunter S. Thompson quote, but basically, I can't remember what it was, but it's basically along the lines of, how can you expect someone to be normal in a profoundly sick society when everyone's a bit messed up?
But then
anyway,
I would say there are people that are iconic in our kind of lives that do manage to keep it together. But just somehow manage to do it. And, you know, like, I don't know who you want to use as a good example, but there are people out there that are just, I mean, Freddie Mercury was awesome, but it just so happened that he liked doing certain things and that got him into trouble and whatever. But, you know,
I think everyone has, like you were saying earlier, the spotlight is always on the celebrity, essentially. Yeah. And there are a lot of people who probably like a lot more sicker things than even probably Joe Public, like, probably has like that. Everyone has that inkling of like that weird kind of subconscious, like the
idea.
But we
get to do it in our own time.
But yeah, we do it in our own time. We don't do it at all because we suppress it because A, we might not have enough money to do it, or not enough confidence to do it, or the opportunity to never arises to do it. Whereas because of these celebrities are thrown opportunities and given so much money, they probably just get so bored, like, when they're time off, they're like, sod it, I might as well do it.
Yeah. And people do weird stuff. Like, if we were famous and this half the stuff that we go to on a night out, not even, like, bad stuff, really, but the stuff we say about things or the stuff we do,
you have the right to say that because you're just have anything to protect.
Yeah,
well, to a certain extent, we don't go around like
even just a normal night out when it used to be a bit tongue in cheek, the press would manipulate that and make us look really bad.
If we were in the public eye,
but
you know, you've got someone like Paul McCartney. I mean, the Beatles, that was like massive, and you can call it like timing the way they hit, and he's still comes across as quite a normal guy. I know the whole divorce.
No, but he does now, but back in the day, the stuff that they got up to was unbelievable.
Yeah, but he's today classed as quite a normal guy, isn't he?
Guy,
he's a respected family man. I know he's, like, he came out really well of the divorce. Like, Heather Mills is seen as this absolute bitch. And, like, the public, like, would, you know, don't really have a bad word to say about it. I mean, some people just deal with it much better than others, I think. And I just don't think...
But then again, he probably doesn't hang his children out of windows.
Well, exactly. But I suppose Michael was made that person from being a kid.
Yeah.
5 years old is so young to be thrown into such a big career, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That was deep.
another serious topic. So, we're still... the competition's still running. We've got quite a lot of subscribers, but we still want some more. So all you have to do is subscribe to the blog at www.shareyourstyle.wordpress.com. So click subscribe and then you're in for a chance to win. We're going to reveal the winner next Friday. So you've only got a week left to go. And also if you become a fan of Corsets UK on Twitter, that means you're in for a chance to win one of their really nice corsets as well.
Someone sent me a message the other day saying, oh, hey, honey, how are you? And blah, blah, blah. And then he was like, oh, I see your friends of corsets or something. Do you have any? And I was like, this is a guy I've known for ages. And I was like, no, I don't actually, but become their friend and you could get your girlfriend one.
Yeah.
It's really weird that he'd actually noticed. So I think it's drawing people's attention.
I don't think I've added them as a friend because I don't want to be that person.
Yeah.
But on not that I have anything against the company, I love them, especially the people that run it. But
And we're coming up with more ideas for competitions. We're going to be doing them more often, so make sure you keep in touch for those.
Oh, one little thing. I said that I'd like just shout out this guy I worked with, because apparently he asked you, Sarah, and you were like, yeah, okay then, but I've totally forgotten. And it's Tony.
Oh my god, I was so drunk when I spoke to him that night, Kate's birthday. I was going, Tony, like that, like the girl out of Skins, and I thought it was hilarious, but it's really not. And he must have asked me, and I was yeah.
So what's the shout out?
Yeah, no, it's just like, he was just like, oh yeah, hi Tony. And also, he is the assistant manager of a bar called Mink, where we frequent occasionally. It's very nice.
Oh, I got a free shot there on my birthday, didn't I?
Yeah.
Oh, it was lovely.
Yeah, it's a lovely cocktail bar. It used to have an outdoor bit.
Well, it used to be roofless.
Roofless. But now they've put the roof on. But there's like beds that you can lie on. And if you saw our photos from the other night, we were like lying on these beds.
Lounging on them.
Yeah, it's quite fun. Sorry about that, Tony. I was a bit embarrassing. I got a funny video though of Kate and Penny doing the sexy dancing, and then it zooms on
embarrassing.
Zooms onto you and Tony like laughing about how funny it was, and then me and Harry are like tonguing each other and stuff. So gross.
Lovely.
Yeah, sexy. Yeah, I think that's all.
Although we haven't had any messages, have we? So no one wants to get in touch.
Send us some messages. We want them. Yes, you can contact us on, like, leaving a comment just below on the podcast page, or on iTunes, or on the blog, or on Twitter. So get in touch.
Yes.
Yeah, that's all we got.
Cool.
Okay. Okay, bye.
Bye.